the message that we're going to look at today flows very naturally out of last week's message. And so I think I need to say to you, last week on Langford Church Live, we learned that we are children of God, right? Not only are we... This series has been building more than I anticipated when I put it together. Not only are we created by God, we turned away from him and became sinners, and yet he saved us by his grace. Not only that, he has made us children of God. He has given us new life and brought us into his very own family. Now, a lot of people will stop there and just think about it in terms of, I am a child of God. That's great. I am the child. God is my father, and that's about it. But we do need to take it one step further, because being a child of God is not just about me as an individual. Being a child of God is about us as the family of God. Being a child of God means that we have brothers and sisters in faith. Being a child of God means that we are part of Jesus' family. Jesus said that in his time in the gospel. In the gospels, three different gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell us this story. You might recall there was a time when Jesus was teaching in a house, doors, you know, standing room only sort of thing, and Jesus' mother and brothers came out, and they were waiting outside of the house, and they couldn't get in. And somebody inside heard about that, and said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside, and they want to come in and talk to you. And Jesus looked around at the disciples. He said, well, who are my mother and brothers? And he pointed at everybody there who was listening, and he said, these are my mother and brothers. Whoever does the will of God, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. That's not to minimize the importance of biological families. Our biological families are important and valuable, and God honors them and loves them. Jesus' point, though, is that when we become children of God, we become more than just individuals. We become a family together. We belong now to the family of Jesus. So today we are going to think about the corporate implications of being children of God, what it means to be a part of Jesus' family. Because just like biological families, we all have different roles, we all have different characters, we all work together. There are some crazy uncles, there are some we don't talk about Brunos out there, but you know, we don't have a choice in that. We're family. We belong to each other. So how do we live as children of God together in Jesus' family? Well, there are many, many things that I could say, but I want to focus our attention on three C's in particular. So we're going to focus our attention on commitment, conflict, and care. And think about how being a child of God shapes our understanding of commitment, conflict, and care. Now, if you have the bulletin with you, you'll notice that I've given you a whole boatload of scriptures. Oftentimes, we'll look at one passage and develop out of that. That's one way of approaching the text or a message. Another way is to take a lot of different pieces and put them together, and that's what we're doing today. So we're going to cover a lot of verses very briefly. But I just want to give them to you so that if you want to go back and look at it and go, oh, okay, right, that's what he was talking about, those verses are written down for you in the bulletin, so they're there. So let's talk about commitment, conflict, and care, starting with commitment. A lot of people see church as a social club. They know their own group of people. They might know the names of some of the other people at church, but when you really get right down to it, they don't really care about the other people. Being a part of Jesus' family challenges that way of thinking. Being a member of Jesus' family means being committed to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. The other people in church are not just background noise to fill the pews. They are, for better or for worse, brothers and sisters in faith. Hebrews 13:1 specifically says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters, would be appropriate too to say. Not as co-workers, not as acquaintances. Love each other the way that you would love a brother or sister, committed to one another as members of the same family. Same thing in 1 Peter 1:22. Peter writes, now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Love one another as brothers from the heart, Peter says. One of the commentaries that I read this week says this requires more than sharing a pew on Sunday morning and a fellowship donut afterward. Instead, we are to allow these people to become our parents, our children, our siblings. We are to adopt one another, taking responsibility for one another and committing to one another. The church is to take those who know the hurt of the world and bring them into the healing of community acceptance. In Jesus' family, he takes strangers, adopts them into the children of God, adopts them as children of God, and makes us brothers and sisters. Why? Well, frankly, we need each other. We need older brothers and sisters to show us a life of wisdom and perspective and faith. We need younger brothers and sisters to bring energy. We need people to marry into the family, as it were, to bring a different way of thinking about things. And we need new babies in the faith, too, so that we keep thinking about how we grow day by day more and more like Jesus. Paul doesn't use the metaphor of family, but he does use the metaphor of body, and I think that this is appropriate too. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 says the body is a unit. I would say too, a family is a unit. So I'm going to swap these in. The family is a unit, though it is made up of many different parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one family. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one family, whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. No one can say, I don't need you, because we need each other to function properly. And then verse 24 says, God has combined the members of this body, of this family, so that, and given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there would be no division in the family, but that the parts would have equal concern for each other. For if one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part rejoices and is honored, the rest rejoice too. Now, you are the family of God, and each one of you a part of it. As Jesus' family, we should be deeply committed to one another. It doesn't matter where we come from or who we are or what society says about us. If we have been adopted as children of God, then we should be committed to one another as brothers and sisters in that family. Let's be honest, though. Brothers and sisters fight. You know, getting ready for today, I was reading about family dynamics on healthychildren.org. It says, although family life is often romanticized, it has often been filled with conflicts and tension. Yeah, no kidding. While we often expect families to be above the chaos that exists in the rest of society, that outlook places unrealistic expectations upon the family. In the real world, families are not always a haven, since they too can be filled with conflict. Yeah, and it's no different in the church. There's conflict here too, right? And I dare say that the potential for conflict is even greater in the church than it is in a biological family, because in church you've got people sitting side by side working together who would under no other circumstances be sitting side by side working with each other. Right? Throughout history, you have had slaves and masters sitting next to each other. You have had people of all different races who, out in the real world, would be taught to hate one another, and yet they come into the family of God, and now they have to interact as brothers and sisters. The blood of Jesus that saves all of us has called us to treat each other kindly as family. Paul says in Romans 15, accept one another. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you, just as selflessly and completely as Jesus accepted you. Being a member of Jesus' family means realizing that that other person is loved and accepted by Jesus as deeply as he loves and accepts you. It means handling conflict out of our mutual commitment to one another, right? It means starting with that mutual commitment to one another as brothers and sisters, and then working towards finding a solution to the conflict, rather than starting with the disagreement and trying to get our way, because our way is the most important. Right? You know, when we left our last church, it was a pretty tense time because there was a lot of potential there for fireworks. There could have been a lot of animosity. There could have been a lot of bad blood. But I didn't want that because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We were sinners saved by grace, needing that grace just as much as we did the very first day that we got it. And so I tried to treat those other people in light of that. At the same time, apparently, there was another church that was going through something very similar, and they were throwing accusations at one another. Somebody accused the pastor of having an affair with somebody else to try and tear him down, even though the claims were so far-fetched. That's not how we handle conflict in this family, right? We start with our mutual commitment to one another, and then we work towards resolving it. We understand that Jesus is our big brother. We have the same big brother. Starting with that, we invite him to help us to find a solution rather than tearing each other down. If Jesus laid down his life for us, then the least we can do is treat each other with humility and respect, even if we disagree. Practically speaking, Ephesians 4:2 is helpful, right? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And sometimes that's the best we can do, right? Is to bear with one another. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, Paul says. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is helpful too. right? Before you try to point out the speck of dust in somebody else's eye, make sure there's no giant log obscuring your vision. We really need to, as James 1:19 says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. We seem to be living in an age of outrage right now, when everybody seems to be quick to assume the worst of the other person and assume the best of themselves and throw shade as much as possible. We need to be slow to speak, eager to listen. And not just to listen, but to actually hear what the other person is saying. You know, I'm suspicious that a great deal of conflict that is happening these days happens because people are not truly listening to each other. They're hearing it, but what they're really thinking about is the salty retort or comeback that they're going to make to get the point across to the other person. What we need to do is listen to hear what that other person is saying and then form an answer in light of that. You know, we want to start with our shared commitment to one another, humbly work towards a solution that aligns with our Father's character and purposes. And I'll tell you, I saw this at work a couple of weeks ago. The Sanctuary Refresh project was coming up here, and there were some big conversations right? The committee did an excellent job of putting together a proposal for how we would spruce up the sanctuary there. And the board also thought, well, if we're going to spend money fixing up the sanctuary, then we need to consider all of the options. And so we had big conversations about, do we put in chairs? Do we put in new pews? Do we do chairs? What color do we paint things? There was great potential there for conflict. You know, I heard somebody say this is the sort of thing that can split a church. But you know what I saw? I saw brothers and sisters in Jesus working together to find a solution that would make sense for us as a church, as a family, right? I saw people humbly listening to each other's perspectives, gaining from their insights, and then working together to find a solution that works. And I thought to myself, this is church. You know, that Saturday that we all gathered here, I thought, man, if we can't do this right, then what we do on a Sunday morning doesn't matter at all, because it's how we live as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I saw us come together as a family, committed to each other more than to the project. Valuing the project, yes, but working together from a shared shared commitment as brothers and sisters. And that's great, because hopefully conflict is just a every now and then situation for a church. You know, the status quo should really be care, that final C. As members of Jesus' family, we need to care for one another. Romans 12:13 puts it like this: share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud. Don't be conceited. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Paul wrote those words in Romans, in Galatians. He says, let us not weary, become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We're a family. We belong to each other. 2 Corinthians 1st chapter says, we are comforted by God to be a comfort to others so that we can rejoice with the people who are rejoicing, so that we can mourn and be a shoulder to cry on to the people who mourn. And I know, again, that this is a lesson that you have taken to heart. I'm preaching to the choir here. I know that. You are living out the importance for caring for each other. You could teach a master class on it, I'm sure, at another church. You might know this. Even with Sunday school on pause because of COVID, the teachers are coordinating the kids to send out Valentines to all the people who have not been able to come out to church very often. The gift bags at Christmas, meals for Why Not, the way that you coordinate meals to provide for people and to help out when they are laid up or mourning. It's phenomenal. Right? Food is central to life as a family, isn't it? And you excel at that. As members of Jesus' family, we need to take good care of each other. We are not simply individual children of God, right? We are members of Jesus' family. So we commit to each other as brothers and sisters. We handle conflict out of that mutual commitment. And we make our default position care towards another person. That's what it means to be members of Jesus' family. When I was first a Christian, when I first came to faith, I kind of got it into my head that I could be a lone wolf Christian, right? Just me and God. Anybody else would dilute that relationship and wouldn't want that. So I was going to be just a individual Christian apart from God. If I could have gone back to myself, if I could go back now and talk to myself, I would have said, Graham, you nitwit. You are a part of a family. You are a part of this family of God. You inherently have brothers and sisters. You don't have a choice about it, but also you need them to thrive. God didn't just make you and call you special. He brought you together. Embrace that family. Learn from that family. Grow as a member of that family. And I can't tell you the number of people, the number of mothers and fathers in faith who have taken me under their wing to grow me into who I am. Less of a nitwit today. I think I heard Jeff Balfour say this once. A Christian who ignores the family of God is a little bit like a coal that rolls away from the fire. Right? If it stays out from the fire too long, that little coal is going to burn out. But push it back into the fire and it comes alive. It sustains itself with one another. Same with believers. Together we fan into flame the work and the blessings that God has for us. So, commit to one another as brothers and sisters. Out of that commitment, handle your conflict and make your default caring deeply for one another. In that way, we will be Jesus' family. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this family. Thank you that you have not left us alone to figure out the life of faith, but you have given us brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and people who come behind us to show us what it means to be your children. And Lord, thank you for this family. Thank you for this group of people who are listening to my voice right now, who call themselves members of the Langford Church community. Lord, these people love each other. They love you. They love your word. I pray that you will help us more and more to think in terms of we. We know that you love us each as individuals. We do that really well as members of our individualistic Western society. God, help us to think of each other in terms of we. I pray, Lord, that you would build us more and more as a family. Lord, bless all those who right now are preparing the meals and cleaning the house for us. Lord, thank you for the way this church works together to bless one another, to support one another, to mourn with one another when they need it, and to rejoice together, to pin newspaper clippings to the wall to say, look, let's celebrate together this person. Thank you for this family, Lord. May we grow ever closer to each other and ever deeper in faith and relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.